Welcome to followtheboat.com. Tales not just from the high seas. These are the podcast adventures of Liz and Jamie as they travel through the Indian subcontinent. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast where we finally get to Meenakshi Temple in Madurai. Jamie, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
We know from last week that Meenakshi was an avatar of the Hindu goddess Parvati, who was the consort of Shiva. And we also know that Madurai is over 2,500 years old and the temple itself was built in the 17th century. And we find out some more facts in this week's podcast as we are taken around the temple by the well-informed Dinar. But to put this in context, we really have to understand the enormity of this temple. It's one of the largest in the world, and it's like something out of Raiders of the Lost Ark inside, with over 33,000 sculptures, 14 gopurams, which are the huge towers, a couple of golden shrines, and receives 15,000 visitors a day. I would suggest going to Google and doing a search for aerial views of Madurai to really understand exactly how big this thing is. Now, there were many festivals associated with the temple, and we were fortunate enough to be there on the most auspicious day of Pongal, the harvest festival, so it was extra busy. We also tried to understand Hinduism and find out why the cow is a sacred animal.
So is a cow actually sacred?
Well, that's a bone of contention, because apparently sacred is a term used to describe anything that is Christian, not Hindu. So actually, you're right. The cow isn't officially sacred, but for the sake of argument, we know what we're talking about here. So, 5:30 start. Let's go to the temple with our guide, Dinar.
Inside the temple at 10 to 6 in the morning, and almost as busy as it was yesterday. Guess it's the first proper day of festivities of Pongal. A lot of people are coming here to pay their respects to their gods, their Hindu gods. A lot of boys, as we saw yesterday, bare-chested, with the longi on, normally either black, sometimes orange. Coming in groups, all wearing necklaces of some kind. I'm standing outside one of the temples, and unfortunately, because we're not Hindu, we can't go in there, but we heard a little bit then of the chanting, the group chanting, and the bells going off in the background. We've got the elephant here again, and she's taking money, and today she's being fed grass, and she looks very happy. Moving away now from the main drag, a little less frenetic. Out here there's a shrine to Ganesh, everybody's favourite Hindu god. He's the elephant-headed god. People making their offerings, lighting candles and standing with their palms together, reciting, don't know what, but some kind of chant. It's the scale of this place that beggars belief. It's enormous. We've got nothing that's anything like this, certainly in the UK. All those hectares, it's just absolutely full of shrines and corridors, all lined with these magnificent columns, incredible painted ceilings, statuary, very ornate carvings, big flagstone floors, and they've painted and drawn all over the floors here because of this particular celebration in lots of bright colours. I'm in a much quieter part of the temple, which today isn't seeing as much action as the centre part where the main service, for want of a better word, is going on, I guess. There are a few people here quietly at prayer. Shrines all the way along here, several of them with statues of ox and cows, which are very much celebrated at this time of the year. Okay, so Dina, can you tell me a little bit about where we are right now, where this place is?
Yes, please. And this place, the name of the place was Meenakshi Amman Temple. Mm-hmm. the incarnation of Goddess Parvati, yes, the wife of Shiva. Then Sundareshwara, the one more incarnation of God Shiva.
Right.
Here, there are five entrances. East to four, two entrances. Yep. South one, west one, north one, then south one. You were entering, I think, a west tower right now.
I don't know which one it was.
Normally, you can see there. In east entrance is the main entrance in Hindu temple. Why?
Why?
Because sun rising didn't make.
Oh.
There is a logical reason.
Okay, yes.
And here there are two temples. One is dedicated to God Shiva, another one is Goddess Meenakshi.
Yeah.
When Meenakshi was born in holy fire and 6 year baby with three breasts, then she met the God Shiva. The third one was disappeared because Lord Shiva proposed his love for Meenakshi. Please love me. Please marry me. Then got the marriage in Madurai here. Later I'll show the statue.
So this temple is dedicated really to Meenakshi and to Shiva.
Yeah. Then here there are 14 towers.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, he's 14. Pointing at the tower I was describing yesterday, which is 50 meters in height. Yeah,
that's
and very, very colourful and covered in...
Then how many figures?
I don't know. You tell me how many figures, please.
1511.
Wow. On each tower?
For each tower, 1511. And here there are 14 towers. Big towers are 5. Small towers are 7 and 2 golden towers. Sanctum Sanctorum of God Shiva, another one is Goddess Meenakshi. And this is the south one, one of the tallest, the highest tower in this temple.
Okay, meters. So we're sitting opposite, we're standing opposite the tower, the south tower, one of the highest towers,
yes,
with 1501 deities.
1511.
1511 figures on it. It gives you some idea of what we're looking at here. And can you tell me what this area behind you is?
Yeah, I'll tell you. This is a golden lotus tank.
Right.
You can see that here. The lotus is made by the gold plating. This one.
So the procession yesterday, what is that something that happens every day or is that because of the Pongal festival?
No. Pongal festival, okay. Then the most important for Margali. Margali is a Tamil month. Tamil month, Margali is more auspicious.
Okay.
Margali month starts from 15th December from 15th January. It's more auspicious in Tamil.
The most important time of the year then. So the 15th of...
Today, 14th.
Tomorrow is the last day of the most auspicious time of the year in the Tamil culture. Yes. Okay, thank you.
It came in right time.
So we're looking at the what they call the golden lotus
this
tank.
This is a lotus tank. And this lotus, the lotus is a symbol of our universe in Hinduism. You can see the gods and goddesses in Hindus. The gods and goddesses sitting on the lotus.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or you remember?
Yes.
So we can imagine that they were sitting on our universe.
Yes.
And this is a golden lotus tank. 14th century belongs to Pandya dynasty.
Okay. Okay.
And why should they are painted about red color then white color? Red, white, red, white, white. Why?
I was going to ask you that because I keep seeing this everywhere. Even when we were walking around in the town, all the small temples, red and white stripes everywhere. I don't know.
Why? Okay. When... White means God Shiva, another one is Goddess Parvati. Gods and goddesses, male and female.
Okay. Yeah. Is Parvati the kind of the highest of the female goddess, or are they just all...
In India, the goddess is highest.
The goddess is highest.
Yeah. And Lord Shiva is instruction. Yeah, Parvati is wife. And here, in India, there are three temples are most important. Kanjipuram, Madurai, then Varanasi. Or you went to Varanasi in North India, Kashi?
Not yet. Yes, we will go there.
Both are the Shiva temple. One more famous Tamil proverb said that one man where was born in Kanjipuram, where was lived in Madurai, where was die in Varanasi to getting the salvation of our soul.
So it's good luck to die in Varanasi.
Yeah.
It's not very lucky though because you go there and then you die.
They are going to heaven. The gods
feed
you. It is our belief.
Yes, I understand.
I'm never asking there the science. It is our belief. Mythology.
Yeah. Okay, right? Interesting. Yeah, we all have them.
Thank you. And this temple was built in historically 1,400 years old, 1,400 years old. Late 6th century.
Okay, so the structures we hear,
this
we
is
see
16th
here.
Century.
Yes, this is, this
yeah,
is modern.
I will tell
okay,
that.
So yeah.
It is historically, but mythologically 3,600 years old. 3,600 in mythology. In 12th century, the Mughals, the Muslim invaders, came to Madurai city to destroy the structure in this temple. Only a little bit, not at all. Then 13th and 14th century, the different kingdoms, the different dynasties rebuilt the temple architecture, which means the Nayak dynasty, Vijayanagara, then the Pandya dynasty.
Right.
So now we can see the present structure. inside and outside is a building believed that only 600 years old. Just 600 years.
Yes.
So you can see that 600 years old there. Once in 12 years, every 12 years, repainted, renovation, then reconstruction.
Okay, because we thought yesterday when we were looking how very bright the colours are, and one of the traders in the market said they were. It was finished 6 months ago. Is
that
right?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. 2009 May 2009.
Right.
And after maybe I think 2021,
well, it'll all be done.
Not
again.
Not only for here, for all the temple.
How long does that take?
1 year.
Yeah.
Do you know the mathematics?
It's enormous, so there must be a lot of people here, absolutely, yeah.
The people are working together, a lot of people, the wonderful architects, architecture.
Yes.
Right?
So most of the structures that we're seeing here are 600 years old.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's from the earlier times left here?
Yeah, East Tower.
Okay.
Eastern entrance, one of the oldest tower in this temple, 12th century.
Okay.
And inside Sanctorum of Shiva temple, but we can't access that, only Hindu, sorry.
Yes.
Inside Sanctorum of Shiva temple.
Yes.
That is also 6th century, inside the statue.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
The Shiva temple, then, would you know Linga?
Linga.
Linga form. I'll show later.
Okay,
no problem.
Yeah.
I will show there similar.
So that's...
Not inside.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. So that's 6th century in that inner sanctum area.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Shiva temple only, not for Meenakshi.
Right.
Shiva temple.
Oh, I see.
And the another one is 12th century, the East Tower, the East entrance.
Right.
Later I show that, no problem.
Okay, great. Okay.
And then, and those towers are made of three materials. When the basement, it is made by the granite.
Mm-hmm.
And those gods and goddesses made by the stucco plaster. Stucco.
Oh, the stucco.
Yeah. Also, you can see the center in the middle is made by the wood.
Wood?
Yeah, wood.
Okay.
So the granite, plaster, then stucco. Inside staircase is available, steps are available, possible, but we can't access to the top of that because one man who was attempted suicide in last century, 100 years before, to fall on the ground to die.
Right.
So restriction for the public.
Right, yeah, that's a shame.
I show the one more most important thing in here. Are you seeing there? The biggest one, white color, then some letters, inscription.
Yes, that goes all the way around, the frieze, yes.
What is this?
I have no idea, can you tell
me? Can we
go? Yes, let's go.
Like a tiles. And then those are the holy poem. The name of the poem, Thirukural. The name of the poet, Thiruvalluvar, who has wrote the poem is this one, 2000 years before. He was lived in here, Madurai. Wrote in Tamil also. Tamil is one of the oldest language in the world. Also, it is a classical language in the world. Do you know that?
Yeah, there was a documentary on the television that we watched, and it was talking about how very ancient it is. Thousands and thousands and thousands. Yes. And we're looking at the moment at some stone tablets all the way across the one wall of this rectangle, the Golden Lotus.
Yeah.
And this is the poems that you were just telling us about.
Yes.
And they're all inscribed into the stone, and it's a holy poem.
Yeah, holy poem. Yeah. There. I told you know that. The Thirukural and Thiruvalluvar, and here there are three chapters, 133 sections, each section having 10 couplets. 10 couplets there. So the total number of couplets are 1330.
And do you have to learn them all when you study Hindi?
In my school days.
Yes.
I know five sections. I know very well.
Do
it is,
you?
But it is an ancient Tamil.
Yes.
Not a new one.
Very difficult.
It's ancient, very difficult.
Yeah.
Little bits.
And the actual the letters that are inscribed
same
there,
thing.
Is that the same as
same
that
thing,
is
same
the
thing.
Same? Okay.
But the pronunciation is different.
Okay, yes.
Then teachings about ethics, economy, then pleasure. How to rule about a society, who is a good citizen, who is a good parents, how to do the good business, who is a good doctor, what is good medicine, what is good hospitality, then who is a good tourist guide.
Yes, I'm sure.
I'm joking sometimes.
Well, we walked around the Golden Lotus tank and I've just been left alone. As I look across, there's a golden tower which forms part of the structure here of the Meenakshi Temple. And it's all lit up just as the dawn is coming up. It's stunning, brilliant, radiant gold. But Jamie, unfortunately, is round the other side and he's not going to get a shot of this unless he gets here very quickly. But it's spectacular, this beautiful golden tower, which we're only going to be able to see from here because the rest of the temple is enclosed. So I'm just going through the gods here, and each of the major gods has its own vehicle.
When Shiva temple, it is Nandi, the holy bull. In Vishnu temple, eagle. Then Ganesh is the mouse. The one more important thing is that Murga is the second son of Shiva. His vehicle is peacock.
Explains why the bull and the peacock, we see so many pictures of bulls and peacocks. Don't see so many mice,
yes.
But we see the peacock a lot, don't we? And obviously the bull.
Yeah.
I have a question for
yes,
you.
Please.
With the Hindu religion, the cow, is the cow a sacred? Is that
yes,
right?
Sacred animal.
And why is that?
Because he's a transport of God Shiva.
As simple as that. Because he's a transport of the God Shiva.
Because he's a transport of Shiva. We have a lot of uses by the cows. They give the milk, the cows give us the milk. Then we are using the curd or buttermilk, ghee, lot of things. So we can imagine that we are pray for that always cow.
That makes sense, because the cow is so useful.
Yeah,
so
so
he
useful
is naturally the transport. Yes, yeah, so probably she.
In scientifically that one, in mythology this one.
Yeah, okay. And yes. and peacocks also are...
Peacock is a demon, like a demon. It was the name was Surabhadma. Surabhadma is took the form of what? Peacock and cock. When cock is his flag. Flag of the Murga temple. Both are the demon. And Murga is the second son of Shiva. He is a Hindu god of war.
War.
The first son is Ganesh. Later I'll show the statue. On the way I will explain that. No problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Very nice.
Now for those who don't know, anyone can visit any Hindu temple, but quite often you'll have an inner temple, and that is only open to Hindus. If you're not born Hindu, you can't visit these temples. So we can't go inside this, but our guide, Dinar, explains what happens in there.
But if you could ask, sorry, I'm so sorry there. When worshippers, the devotees going to inside, they were offered something, sometimes coconuts, sometimes bananas, some incense, sometimes coins. Are already putting it together to offer something there. The priest will be coming to giving back to eat something there. The most important thing is there, when we offer something, coconut or bananas, those are activated our five senses. I think it is a six. When we see their god and goddesses by our eye,
yes.
The first one is activated. Then we hear the bell sound.
Okay.
The second one is ear is activated. Then we smelling about something, incense.
Yes.
The third one. The fourth one is to getting the eating sweetness for the bananas or something.
Yes.
The fourth one, when pray for something there, the words came from by our tongue.
Okay.
The fifth one is activated. The most important thing is, sixth one is to feel something there, to touch the holy fire. So if we feel something there, it's so too hot. So when we pray for here, the sixth senses are activating. It is Hinduism.
Okay, so we only have five senses, but in the Hinduism, when you're using all the five senses and you're in the temple and praying,
yes.
That counts as your sixth sense. Very interesting, I like that. So just going back here to, this is an area that Jamie and I were looking at yesterday, and we're watching the people come in.
Yes.
And
they were prostrate something.
They were prostrate
not
themselves.
Here. Men prostrate about the eight parts of his body, when women prostrate about five parts of her body.
So
when
five men, parts of her body had to be touching the floor.
Yeah, touching the... How do I tell that?
Because
them,
I saw the men were lying full length
yeah,
down.
Yeah, like that. When women are like that...
Yes. So
like,
what she was kneeling and then...
About the eight parts of his body. Head, chin, two shoulders, two hands and the two legs. When the woman prostrate about five parts of her body. Head, two hands and the two legs. When he raised up, he or she getting the noble thoughts and peace of mind.
Okay, so we're seeing them do that quite a lot here as
yes,
they're
yes.
coming in.
Yes.
We saw this yesterday. We saw the men lying full length and the women prostrating themselves using
yes.
the 5 points. And that's in front of the area that you've just described to me, which is the... I'm just going back from
yeah.
what you said. This is what you described to me as this sacrificial altar.
Yeah. Altar, yeah.
It's not a sacrificial altar in the way in slaughtering lambs or anything
yes.
like that. It's where you would lay perhaps flowers... The
grains.
Grains... And
coconut or bananas. They
coconuts
were also something
bananas.
Here. Sometimes coins for the coin box.
Okay. Yes, and
the
there's a coin
box
next to it. So any of those things, you start there before you go into the temple.
No, it is a part of worship.
Yes.
It is a part of worship. We were offered something there.
That's okay. So you
we
make...
offered there. There are a lot of offerings.
Yes.
Sometimes the big man... I'll show the big one. I'll show the one more important thing. Please.
So you make an offering before you go into the temple.
It is a one more form of offerings. Because that it is like a balance. When people came in here... They will pray for something there. If they desire about his heart, they pray for the god and goddesses, please solve my problem. If the, I think, for example, if they have the no more children, they pray for the god and goddesses. Then after 1 year, they'll be getting the boy or girl. They will offer something there by equal weight.
Yes.
By boy or girl sitting on together in here, they will offer sometime gold or silver, sometime fruit and bananas, and sometime gold coins.
It seems very much to me that what we do here is we give something.
Yeah.
And then when we've given something, we get something back. Yeah. And it's all equal and it's all balanced here in Hindu religion.
Yeah.
It's interesting that taste seems to be a big part of it. Bananas, coconuts, and incense, smell, very, very big part of it. And we're standing now in front of a huge set of scales, really big set of scales.
Balance,
and you've just described to me that if you ask for something big, say, I need help with having a child, and then a year later you have your child, those balances on these scales, you give the equivalent, might be gold,
I was sitting
might be
here this way, I was sitting here,
yeah,
then equal weight for the silver or gold, and sometimes bananas or fruits, sometimes rice also,
what you can
according
afford
to the according to
absolutely
the economical status.
Yes,
my economical, I'm a middle class.
Yes,
I body only little thing, I'm not a big thing.
Yes,
so my I can buy something there, rice or bananas only there.
Yeah.
When economical big like you, you can buy there gold or silver.
I'm not that high in the economy, I'm sure you.
So
if I was a billionaire and I wanted a child and I got my child, I would stand on that weight and I'd have to put the equivalent amount in gold or silver, really. I should, shouldn't I? Because I've got so much money, I should give it back to you. The other thing we were looking at yesterday and we were looking at again today is there that it's women pretty much most of the time. They're putting little little tiny bowls filled with oil and a little taper and they're lighting it and they're putting it in front of the sacred bull. I was calling it a cow, but it's not. It's a sacred bull. And that's to bring light.
Yes.
Like we would say that Christ was the light.
Yes.
This also is to bring light into the darkness of the world.
I told you the darkness of the world, then to getting the knowledge.
To get the knowledge.
To avoid the ignorance.
Okay. So it lights the world and it lights your intellect and your intelligence to understand. Okay, great. Thank
to
you.
To us, the god and goddess.
And why is it nearly always women that do this?
Sometimes men also though.
Yeah, we see just lots and lots of women.
No,
and
not, I was not, also.
You do it as well.
Yeah,
yes. Just in the 2 days we've been here, we've seen pretty much mostly women, haven't we? Yeah.
I do it every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
Yesterday also. Today.
Fantastic.
Friday.
Yeah.
Today is the most auspicious day in Hinduism.
Is it?
In Christianity, Sunday.
Yes.
And here is Friday is most auspicious day.
Okay.
Very most auspicious day.
Okay.
And after you can see there are a lot of people who are worshipping here. Friday only.
Okay, I didn't realize that. So actually it's the same as Islam, because Friday is big in Islam calendar as well.
Okay.
So we're standing in front of Ganesh, which is where everyone comes first when they come to the Shiva temple. And they are praying, and what they do is they put their hands above their heads, their palms together, first of all, and then they put their hands either side of their heads holding their ears, and then they bob up and down in front of Ganesh. I can see them all doing this in front of me, I'm not lying, and that apparently is to cause some kinetic energy. And this comes from the wisdom of Ganesh, who is one of his many abilities is his wisdom. And they're all doing this here, praying, and then they bob up and down holding their ears in front of him, so they're all gaining a little bit of kinetic power. Fantastic. All along here, we've got these mythical creatures. I describe they look a bit like gargoyles that we have in England. And you're telling me that they're mythical.
Yes.
And can you tell me just a little bit about them?
It's the name of the animal is Yali, but it is not real. It is a mythological animal. It is mixed with the four animal. When the face like a dragon, and they have the small tusk like an elephant, you can see the body is a horse. Then you can see that down straight like lion.
Okay.
Lion. Horse, elephant, then dragon.
Yes.
It is a transport of God Shiva, Yali.
Thank you, right, so we know that's Yali. Shall we move on? We're getting an audience here.
Where is he? Right, you
need to find Jamie, who's gone off photographing.
Okay.
So we've just stopped. We're still near the Ganesh icon, and we've been told to look up, and sure enough, as we look up above me, I can see lots of bats, lots and lots of bats, and a lot of them are just hanging hanging from the ceiling. Goodness knows how they grip the ceiling, but they're all sitting there. We have bats in the belfry, and here they have bats on their columns and on their ceilings as well. Something about bats and religion, I think. This is live singing in the temple, and they're singing in ancient Tamil.
What do you know what is the name of the god? Murga. Right. He's a second son of Shiva. He's a Hindu god of war. I told you know that?
Yes, you did. You told me he is war. So yeah. His brother is Vishnu?
No, yeah. Ganesh.
Ganesh.
Vishnu is the father of Brahma.
Okay. Does Vishnu have a father?
Vishnu's father, we don't know that.
We don't know. Okay, so Vishnu
There are our mythology. In Hinduism, Hindu triad, three gods are most important. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva.
Okay.
When Brahma is the creation, Vishnu is the protection, then Shiva was the destruction. And here's the Murga, the second son of Shiva,
yes.
And Parvati. Then he is the Hindu god of war. He's also the darling of Tamil people. He was always accompanied with the peacock. I told you know that?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Just look at the top of
yeah.
there. The peacock is there.
Yeah, and the
His flag is cock. Flag.
Okay.
But here there are no. And he was always accompanied with the spear. Do you know spear?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
The right hand.
I can see the spear.
But it is not it is a symbolized by our knowledge. It's not a weapon, it is a symbol of our knowledge. When spear divided in three categories, which means up, middle and bottom. When up means the sharpness of our knowledge, when the middle, the vastness, when the bottom, the depthness. Our knowledge should be sharpness, vastness, then depthness.
Sharpness, vastness,
yeah.
And depth.
Depthness. The one more famous proverb in English, knowledge is a power, knowledge is a weapon.
All knowledge is power.
Knowledge is a weapon also.
Here, yes,
knowledge
absolutely.
Is a weapon.
Okay, and he's black, but is he always black? Is that just because of that particular...
No, he's a nude form of Shiva, nude.
Okay.
There are no more dress.
Okay.
Nude form of Murga. There are a lot of Murgas. I'll show one more important one. Here's one more Murga.
Well, he's carrying the spear again
peacock
here, the spear
also.
Of knowledge.
Spear and peacock.
Okay, so when we
always
see spears...
carrying the spear.
When we see spears and peacocks... We think Murga.
Yeah, okay.
The god
you can
of
easily
war.
Remember.
Yeah.
You can easily understand. Some iconography.
Yes.
Icons.
That's a straightforward
yeah.
one.
In Vishnu?
Vishnu.
Vishnu always holds the conch. Shishal.
Oh, he holds. No, I didn't realize that. A conch.
Yeah. The conch. Always carry the conch at the top of there. I think right, left side.
Left. Yeah.
And
okay.
right hand side is a small disc. Small disc. Do you know disc? Round disc.
Yes, and what is the disc? What does that signify? The earth?
The single is against the evil.
Oh, okay.
To destroy the evil doers.
Okay. Right.
When the conch, or you hear the conch for your ear?
Yes, yes.
The word is, the sound came from Om. Mm,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Mm, like
say,
Om.
Yeah.
When Om means like Om, A means omnipotent God, U means the individual of our soul, M means the relation of our soul. There are hundreds of meanings. The one more important thing is A means Brahma, U means Vishnu, and M means Shiva. And one more example is, and A means male, U means female, then M means transgender.
There's far too many things to remember.
Yeah,
it's all far too
meanings.
Complicated.
There is,
there's some
I'll,
meaning for everything.
I'll give some
examples.
Only three meanings. Three examples. Right? In my childhood days, I was keen with my parents. I was play with the elephants. And I was remember my childhood days.
It's a very cute statue of a small elephant here, and just being told he used to play with it when he was a small boy. Oh, and we're going to go see the big one too. So the difference between an African and an Indian elephant, who knows the difference? Yeah, okay, the African elephant has dirty great big ears, it's bigger. And the Indian elephant is much more tameable and used for lots of jobs. But the main difference is that the female elephant only has very, very tiny tusks in India, whereas the African elephant has very large tusks, both male and female. So that is what I am told. We're outside the temple, and it's a very quiet, spiritual area here. We've got the singing in the background is in ancient Tamil. and it's led by what they call a saint. And you may be able to hear somebody talking in the background. And he is one of the priests who is working with one of the devotees to pray for his parents. And it's a tradition, and it's handed down generation after generation to pray for the previous generation. So when one's parents die, one prays for them. And they will have in turn prayed for their parents, and so it goes.
Oh, I love that chanting. It's such a nice way to end the podcast.
So do you think you understand Hinduism any better now?
To be honest, not really. I do understand the concepts of the religion, and they seem fair, and they seem to be in line with pretty much other major religion. What I do find interesting are the many, many millions of gods that they have, and it seems to me that people can pick and choose which god they follow, what routines they follow, the rituals that they undertake. It does seem to be regionalized, and so it depends on your upbringing, I guess, on what form of Hinduism you choose. But what I do understand, of course, is it's really just an umbrella term for the many sort of various sub-genres of Hinduism that exist underneath it. But we had a wonderful time in Meenakshi Temple. It is truly fascinating, and I recommend anyone who's in the area to go there. And if you can go on the day of a festival, even better. Next week, we have something a little bit different.
Follow the Boat is a travelogue covering our exploits both at sea and on land. The podcasts are just a small part of our personal odyssey. We invite you to visit followtheboat.com and share our adventure.